to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Let's take a breath together. So this morning we're talking about the wise warrior, which is an interesting concept for spirituality. Let's start with the warrior part. Is there really room for warrior in spirituality? Really? I mean, as we talk about this, the idea of warrior in the dictionary, a brave or experienced soldier or fighter engaged in warfare. Where is warfare in infinite love? Where is that? I personally am not sure it exists. Amen. Ernest Holmes says this, and actually this is... So if you study this, is as much as it looks like a Bible, it's not, but it's kind of mine. The back third of this is Ernest Holmes dancing with the Bible. And so he's speaking about a piece from Matthew 5:8, "The pure in heart shall see God." And what he says is the peacemakers are called the children of God. We never associate warriors with the divine kingdom. Struggle and strife are outside the kingdom. Amen. They cannot enter in because of their confusion. Only peace can enter the gates of reality and sit at the table of love. So where does this idea of wise warrior fit in to a Sunday Science of Mind talk about life? Well, because we're not just living in the spiritual realm, although we are having a very human experience of it. And there is absolutely this idea of warrior in this human realm. And if we understand that what being a warrior is really about in this human realm, we'll figure out just how unnecessary it is in our spiritual walk. Right? Because to be a warrior, first I have to have a sense of separation to fight against something or someone. And typically, there is an agenda in a war. Maybe it's just me that's noticed that. Somebody has something I believe is mine, so I'm going to go to war with whoever has it to take it. What if there's no war? What if I stop perceiving your stuff and my stuff? What if we just lean into what's true, that there's just stuff? And because we're creative beings, there's lots of stuff. And I don't know if you've noticed, we are creating more stuff every day. So perhaps there's plenty of stuff. Perhaps we don't need to fight over the stuff. Perhaps whatever infinite intelligence created the stuff that you want is in you, and you can create your own stuff just like that. Perhaps. If you knew that. But we're all conditioned to believe this lie that we're separate, that stuff is limited, that there's some amazing value in collecting stuff. We made t-shirts, the one who dies with the most toys wins. Well, guess what? The one who dies with the most toys still dies. And then what happens to your stuff? Right? Now somebody else has your stuff and they didn't have to fight you for it. Isn't that interesting? Right? There are those memes on Facebook that bring me great amusement of what people will put on their tombstone. Leave my stuff alone, I'll be back. If I happen to have a tombstone, which I don't plan on, but if somebody makes me one, all I want on mine, just for complete public record, is psst, behind you. So that into eternity I can laugh at the human, what? Because really, it's just stuff, right? I think if we understand wisdom, that really, that's worth fighting for. And I think we have to get clear where the battleground is. So what exactly is wisdom? I think wisdom has three parts. Knowledge, experience, and understanding.
Come on.
And so knowledge, we study. That's why we do so many classes and workshops in this faith tradition, because there's a lot to learn. And I don't know if you've noticed, but things keep changing. So there's always a lot to learn. Right? Understanding. Now, understanding can be a very, very slippery slope, because understanding happens through experience. And I don't know if you've noticed, but as we experience things, it changes our knowledge, which then changes our understanding, which then changes our experience. So it's kind of a thing. It's kind of a loop, right? That we get. You don't have to. Here's the thing, folks. You can stay completely ignorant of who you are, because this amazing whatever it is that created us gives us permission to do that. There is nothing that says you have to become self-aware. Nothing. There's no penalty if you don't. This idea of hell, fire, and damnation, we as human beings made it up. It's not true. Hell happens in every moment of our lives where we're buried in separation.
Yes.
Where we have already died and haven't left our body. That's hell. Right? When we are so separate from ourself and we don't even know to search for ourselves. That longing, that loneliness, that anguish, that's hell. Can you turn the bottom down on this some? It's booming a lot up here. Thank you. We don't have to live there. Heaven is just like hell is a state of mind. Guess what else is? Heaven. There, as much space exploration as we have done, if there were a residence that had pearly gates and streets of gold, certainly one of the spacecrafts would have spotted it by now. Right? Something that bright, that twinkly, we would have spotted it by now. No one has reported, whoop, found heaven. Now, I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. I'm saying it to point out that perhaps we made it up. And perhaps heaven is a state of mind. Perhaps the Greeks had it right when they said the glory of God. The glory of God in the Greek context literally means that moment of perfect alignment with our Christ consciousness and our human consciousness. that's the glory of God, when those two things align. And if we take that verse that comes from apart, it stops being a weapon we use against one another, and it actually makes sense. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For everyone has made mistakes. I qualify. How about you? Maybe you're the one who thought you made a mistake one day, but you were wrong. So you didn't make any. Maybe that's you. Right? I've made mistakes. And I fall short of being in perfect alignment of with my human consciousness and my Christ consciousness. Okay, cool. Now I have a roadmap of what to do. Right? So what we learn, what we understand, what we experience creates a path of wisdom. Wisdom, I believe, is what we do with that. What are we doing with it? Too many of us get stuck in this idea of fear. And I talked about this in Asheville, and I believe I mentioned it here a couple of weeks ago. We have to let go of this lie that we're afraid of the unknown. You can't possibly be afraid of something you don't know. You don't even know. You don't know it. So how can you be afraid of it? We're afraid of what we tell ourselves about letting go of what we do know. We're afraid of stepping into something new, not because it's new, but because of what we're telling ourselves about what it might be, which, newsflash, is coming from the past. You can't be afraid of something you have no awareness of. None. We're afraid of what we tell ourselves. And that is the thing we get to change over and over and over and over. Change your thinking. Change your life. Somebody sent me a text this morning that says, "Don't believe everything you think. After all, they're just thoughts." And I thought, are they? Yes, don't believe everything you think. I'm with it there. But they're just thoughts, are they? Every thought is creative. Thoughts are things. They're not just thoughts. They're things. They're experience. They create understanding. Doesn't have to be accurate to be understanding. Right? We understand a lot of things that are wholly inaccurate. We believe a lot of things that are completely made up and inaccurate. Doesn't mean we don't believe it. Doesn't mean we don't experience it, because we do. Right? Ernest Holmes, in all of his brilliance, this idea of newness ain't new. Right? Surprise! And I love how he puts it, and this is actually in the section of the book about immortality, and I think it applies to anything that we are struggling to let go of. Nature will not let us stay in any one place too long. She will let us stay just long enough to gather the experience necessary to the unfolding and advancement of the soul. This is a wise provision. For should we stay too long, we would become too set, too rigid, too inflexible. Anybody ever experienced that? Nature demands the change in order that we may advance. When the change occurs, we should welcome it with a smile on the lips and a song in the heart. How many of us welcome change like that? Me either. Hey, there's somebody in the room that told me numerous times early in my recovery, you can go kicking or screaming or you can go singing and dancing, but you're going to go. There's the right way, the wrong way, and your way just might kill you. Perhaps explore another way. Now, it took a while for that to sink in. And if I'm being really transparent, some days it slips out and I have to go find it. I invite you to consider that it's not about staying on the balance beam 24/7. That it's about noticing when we have fallen off. And how do we get back on? And sometimes that means asking for help. That's the beauty of this thing called spiritual community. Sometimes we don't know how to get back on, right? And when we learn and grow together and develop relationships that are safe, then we can say, I fell off the balance beam and I don't know how to get back on. Help. And we're there for one another. I want to wrap up with this. Because it really, for me, sums up wisdom in this beautiful battle that I find myself in between my conditioned thinking and my spiritual truth, between this human realm and the truth of my being. In conclusion, what the world needs is spiritual conviction followed by spiritual experience. And this is Ernest Holmes speaking. I would rather see a student of this science prove its principles than to have them repeat all the words of wisdom that have ever been uttered. It is far easier to teach the truth than it is to practice it. But the practice of truth is personal to each. And in the long run, no one can live our life for us. To give to each is given what they need. And the gifts of heaven come alike to all. How we shall use these gifts is all that matters. To hold one's thought steadfastly to the constructive, to that which endures, and to the truth may not be easy in a rapidly changing world. But to the one who makes the attempt, much is guaranteed. The essence of spiritual mind healing and of all true religious philosophy is an inner realization of the presence of perfection within and around about. It is the hope of heaven, the voice of God proclaiming, I am that which thou art, and thou art that which I am. Let's take this into prayer. I recognize by feeling. I recognize by mind. I recognize by experience that there is one infinite, ever-present allness. I feel it. I sense it within me and around me. And so I know that I must be that in form, in function, in knowledge, in understanding, in experience. All that this one is lives, moves, and has its being everywhere. Everywhere. And so I speak my word, claiming and affirming that we, the collective we, from the smallest grain of dust to the most grandiose mountain and all of the human plant animal life, all in between, are awakening to this self-knowingness, this self-reverence, this wisdom that dares to know the greatness within. And that as we do, we cannot help but know the greatness within all. And so all need to struggle, all need to war, is made irrelevant, beautifully irrelevant. And we celebrate the magnificent diversity, the multiplicity of this one that is constantly in motion, constantly creating, constantly expanding itself as itself. What a glorious thing to behold. And so as I allow the words of the infinite to penetrate this human experience, I am filled with gratitude. Filled with gratitude for this moment, for this day, for this service, for every heart, hand, mind, creative urge that has come together to create this experience of God. What a precious, precious celebration. And so from this gratitude, all that is left is to release, to let go, so that I, we, them, us, it, just keep experiencing the divine. And so I let go, I let it be, and I invite you to join me as we say together, Aho. Amen. 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 And so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.